We just getting started, baby. Did anybody see what Mr. Wardell Steph Curry did to the Portland Trail Blazers? They were nobodies. They beat the Giants. Trash. They beat the Broncos. Trash. If you ever watched Dragon Ball Z, my mans was Super Saiyan. I couldn't wear this until we actually caught a dub. And he did all of this damage in 36 minutes. Let that sink in. They beat the Eagles, trash, the Cowboys, trash, the Bengals, trash, the Jaguars, trash. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. My good people, my good people. Hello, world. I'd like to welcome you guys back to the show that's hot with your boy, Rob Scott. This is Rob Two Cents, baby. What's going on, everybody? Hope you guys are enjoying your weeks so far. I know it's just been Monday, going to be Tuesday for a lot of people who's going to be tuning in to the show. Appreciate you guys for putting your eyes and ears on my product. Hope you guys ready to hit the week off right. Hope you had a great weekend. I personally, myself, had a great weekend. Saw two great movies that are out right now. Shout out to HBO Max. I saw Black Widow's new movie, her own individual movie as a spinoff from the Avengers. As we know, in Avengers Endgame, Black Widow passes away. So, during the battle with Thanos. So, I think in her timeline, it picks up right after Civil War, in which we've seen all the Avengers fighting against each other. And it was a pretty great movie, actually. It was, I have my doubts, and nothing against, Scarlett Johansson or the Black Widow character. I just didn't know how that movie would stand alone, individually with just all eyes centered on Black Widow. But man, Black Widow's that's a bad woman right there. Let me tell y'all something. And her family crazy, It was a great, great movie, great story, great movie, a lot of, plot twists and turns. It was great and, glad to see, Black Widow get her shine, get her just due. I saw a great animated movie with Black Widow and the Punisher some years ago. So, I knew what Black Widow was capable of, but to see it on the actual big screen, it was a great movie. And, of course, its competition would be LeBron's take on Space Jam. Space Jam, The New Legacy, I believe is called. Space Jam, A New Legacy. Had to go to the handy dandy laptop here, and it was a great movie. Now, I saw a lot of people bashing the movie. I don't know if it's because of LeBron hate or Michael Jordan love, but a lot of people were trying to say, oh, it was corny, the movie's not gonna be that good, or it's not that good. For those who've seen it, and I just, you can't trust folks. Sometimes you just gotta go see things for yourself. So, me and the wife, hooked up the Fire Stick, logged into HBO Max and checked it out, and it was a great movie. Of course it's gonna have its corny moments. It's a kid movie. It's not for us. It was for the kids. If you go look at the original Space Jam, I'm pretty sure you're going to see a lot of corny moments in that one as well. And it was not for adults. We were kids, at least people in my age group, born in 88, be 33 this year. When I saw that movie, I was a kid, and I enjoyed Space Jam and I enjoyed LeBron's take on Space Jam, A New Legacy. It was a fun movie, different concept. Movie catching up with the times, everything is so, advanced nowadays. So, of course, the technology was going to be advanced on that. I mean, I think I read somewhere where they had $150 million budget. And it was definitely, glitz and glamoury all throughout the movie. It had Don Cheadle in there. Michael B. Jordan made an appearance. I actually love, you know, spoiler alert, you know, I actually love their take on, you know, including all projects that Warner Brothers has been a part of. I mean, ranging from the Justice League, ranging to The Matrix, ranging to King Kong, ranging to It. I mean, you had Pennywise the Clown in it. I mean, it was a different take on it, you know, and I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. It was also just a little nostalgic, you know. I'm like, oh, wow, look, they got so-and-so on here. Oh, wow, they got, you know. And it was a good movie. You know, LeBron wasn't the best actor, but, you know, this is like one of his first big projects that he's worked on. So, you know, for him to come out, you know, in a big-time movie production like that, that to be his first time, he did okay. You know, y'all need to cut LeBron a break. Now, I understand it's a lot of people out here that's not the biggest LeBron fans. But come on now. You know, you got to give somebody credit where credit is due. The movie was not that bad, man. You guys need to stop belly aching. But I know you guys didn't come here to, you know, hear me give you my take on movie reviews, you know. I always like to have small talk with you guys, man. I appreciate you guys and everything you guys do to keep me going. But I know you came here for some NBA talk right now because, as you know, we are in the middle of the NBA Finals right now. Last time we spoke together on here on Rob's Two Cents, Milwaukee was up 2-1. They had just won game 3, first game back in Milwaukee. Giannis goes berserk. You know, I think that was his second of a back-to-back 40-point game. He goes berserk. Just going to work out there. Phoenix now, you know, hoping to try to steal one in Milwaukee and then end it in game 5 going back home. That's what transpired last time we spoke. However, we all know that's not the case. Right now, if we look since last week when we had this conversation, my good people, Milwaukee is now up 3-2. Milwaukee will go on to win game 4. Milwaukee went on to win game 5. And Phoenix has not won any game since the 2 games they won opening up in Phoenix, hosting the NBA Finals. Now, Phoenix is on the ropes. Phoenix is looking for answers right now. And as you guys know, we have to talk about the road taken to get us to where we currently are right now. So make sure you kick your feet up, sit back, relax, grab a cup of yak, and tune in for the hottest sports conversation in the nation. And for my people watching on their morning commute, get your cup of coffee. Make sure you keep both eyes on the road. That's why I'm on Spotify, iTunes, where you can just hear me as well. Safety first, my good people. And we have to talk about game 4. Because after game 3, we just knew that Phoenix was not going to have another meltdown like they did in game 3. We thought that they were going to be able to take one in game 4. Phoenix spent the better part of the NBA season as number 2 in the Western Conference, fighting with the Utah Jazz to be the best team in the league, not just in the West, in the league. So to see Phoenix have such a meltdown like that in game 3, we gave them the benefit of the doubt. We said, hey, this team is going to bounce back in game 4. And that was not the case. Because in game 4, we saw Chris Middleton wake up. He decided to join the party. The Bucks charged back late, and they tied the finals 2-2. Shout out to NBA.com. Gotta love it. Gotta stay on top of everything. And in game 4, we saw Devin Booker then put on a display of scoring prowess. The man went for 42 points, you guys, off 17 to 28 shooting. That means he shot 60% from the field. He also was 0-3 from the three-point line, which means he shot 0% from the three-point line. So Devin Booker got you 42 points with no threes, just going 17 to 28 from the field and 8-9 from the free throw line. That's getting buckets. I've already told you guys, Devin Booker is not the best three-point shooter. However, he can get hot if need be. But, you know, during game 4, He didn't really need to hit that three ball. I mean, he was out there going to work, getting whatever he wanted to from the mid-range area of the court. 17-foot jumpers, 15-foot jumpers, layups, dunks, back down, fade away, post move. The man footwork was on display. The shot was hot. I'm telling you, Devin Booker went to work. But the only problem with that was nobody decided to step up with him. Your next highest score was Jay Crowder with 15 points, and he was 3 of 10 from that game. Chris Paul was a no-show. Chris Paul only gave you 10 points. He was 5 of 13 from the field. He also was scoreless from the three-point line at 0 and 2. He did give you 7 assists, but very on-point guy-like, he gave you 5 turnovers. Chris Paul was a no-show. I mean, he was losing the ball throughout the game. And then we look at in the fourth quarter, it's money time. Even though you've had such a horrible game, Chris, everybody expected you to step up when you needed to. And that did not happen because Chris Paul, on one of the last plays of the game, will then turn the ball over. I don't know. He made a nice dribble move, dribbled it to his left, and as he was coming back to the right, he lost control of the ball, falls to the ground. Jrue Holiday picks it up, throws it to Young. I mean, they're out there just having their way with the Phoenix Suns, the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm talking about here. And we look on Milwaukee's side of the ball. Great defense throughout the night. Great hustle plays from the others, as we like to call them. You look at PJ Tucker, he gives you 0 points, and he only grabs 5 rebounds. But out of those 5 rebounds, 3 of them are offensive. Giannis gives you 5 offensive rebounds. He gives you 14 rebounds in total. He gives you 26. He goes 11 and 19 from the field. He only turns the ball over one time. He gives you 2 steals. Three steals. He gives you 2 blocks. He even gives you 8 assists. Giannis was everywhere on that court, doing what he needed to do at the time when it was required of him. Big-time players step up to big-time moments. And Giannis said he's going to seize the opportunity. Right now, NBA analysts, other people in the media are calling Giannis right now the top 3 player in the league. They say you have LeBron and KD in whatever order you want to put them, and then you have Giannis at number 3. And Giannis has been dominating. Even Shaq said that he will give it to Giannis, that Giannis is probably more dominant than Shaq if he's able to pull off these NBA finals and win the championship. I'm not going to go that far. I remember watching those Shaq games. Shaq was dominant. You know, Giannis is dominant. Don't get me wrong. And Giannis can do things that Shaq can't do. But Shaq was a walking 30-10, man. He was a wall. He can get you 30 and 10 waking up in the morning and stretching his arms. But Giannis is a dominant player nonetheless. But it was Chris Middleton, you guys, who will step up and have a game in the finals. Because he said, you know what, D-Book, you going for 42? I'm going to get my team 40. Chris Middleton went for 40 points, shooting 15 of 33 from the field, 3 of 8 from the three-point line, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, gets you 6 rebounds and 4 assists, and only 1 turnover. Chris Middleton was hot, making play after play after play after play. Oh, man. Hey, Chris Middleton was out. He looking smooth. And I never understand Chris Middleton. He gives you these good games, and then he disappears. Hopefully, he's able to keep that momentum, because if he plays the way that he played in game 4 throughout the rest of the series, the Phoenix Suns are in trouble. Giannis has been consistent. He's only been needing people to help him and go along for the ride, and Chris Middleton decided to step up. Even Jrue Holiday, even granted he was 4-20 in this game, the defense that he was sticking on Chris Paul, picking Chris Paul up 94 feet, holding Chris Paul to only 10 points, just showing why he was NBA All-First defense this past season. Jrue Holiday is a defensive monster. Again, one of the most underrated two-way players in the league. And Giannis stepping up big time with probably one of the most impressive defensive feats we've seen in the NBA Finals. Let me set the picture for you. Let me paint the picture for you. Giannis is sticking Devin Booker. It's coming down to the wire. Besides game three, these have all been close games in the NBA Finals. Coming down to the wire, Phoenix is trying to tie the game or take the lead. Devin Booker has the ball. He has Giannis sticking him. Devin Booker gets too deep in the paint, and now Giannis understands he's not going to shoot this ball. They're looking to get DeAndre Ayton an easy lob, and that is exactly what they were looking for, because Giannis was able to not only telegraph what Devin Booker was trying to do, he was able to stop it. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, faked at Devin Booker like he was going to stay there. And once Devin Booker threw the lob in one swoop, in one movement, Giannis turns around, jumps in the air, and blocks DeAndre Ayton at the peak of the ball, at the peak of the alley-oop, at the peak of the lob, and stops him, gets the block. Milwaukee doing the things necessary, making those big money plays at big money time to win the game. And then we look at game five, y'all. Oh, man. Game five was won. We saw Devin Booker once again go for 40 points, and he became one of the only players, if not the only player, to have back-to-back 40-point games in the NBA Finals and lose. Devin Booker gave you 40 points, and Phoenix looked as if they would come out and make a statement, as if they were going to come out and make a statement. Got off to a quick start. I believe the lead got up to 20 points by the second quarter. Phoenix looking like, okay, we're back home in Phoenix. Playtime is over. Let's go ahead and win game five. As I mentioned, Devin Booker gave you 40 points off 17 to 33 shooting from the field. And he actually gave you 2 3-pointers this time, shooting 2 of 4 from distance. Gave you 2 steals, 1 block, 4 rebounds with only 2 turnovers. Chris Paul getting back in his groove. Scores 21 points, only has 1 turnover. That's the point guard we know. He was 9 of 15 from the field, 3 of 3, perfect from the 3-point line, hitting big time shots when they needed them. Also giving you 11 assists. DeAndre Ayton trying, playing excellent defense on Giannis, because statistically speaking, when he is guarding Giannis, Giannis is not as successful as he is when other players on the Phoenix Suns are guarding him. He gives you 20 and 10. 20 points, 10 rebounds. Gives you 2 blocks. And just playing unrelentless D on Giannis Antetokounmpo. But the big three from Milwaukee will stand up. Now, let me tell you something about Giannis. As I mentioned before, he had back-to-back 40-point games in game 2 and game 3. Giannis is the first player since Shaquille O'Neal to have back-to-back 40-point and 10-rebound games in the NBA Finals. He gave you over 40 points and gave you over 10 rebounds. Nobody has done that since Shaq. You see why they're comparing him to the big fella? Giannis comes in this game, acts a fool. 32 points, 14 to 23 from the field. Only shot 1 3-pointer. He missed it and realized, I'm not going to do that again. Now, he only gave you 9 rebounds, but he did give you 6 assists with 0 turnovers. Just being freakish out there. Chris Middleton said, I'm still hot. 29 points, 12 of 23 from the field, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. He also gives you 7 rebounds with 5 assists. But it was Drew Holiday, who I believe was the MVP of this game, because he came out firing. He said, I know last game I was 4 of 20. I'm going to still get up 20 shots. In this game, he was 12 of 20. hitting 27 points, 13 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, only 2 turnovers. 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Playing a relentless D on Chris Paul, switching up from him to Devin Booker, doing his thing. Did I mention he got the game-winning defensive play of the game? Let's paint the picture for you. Devin Booker has the ball. Phoenix is only down 1 with about 31 seconds left. Devin Booker gets the rebound off of missed Chris Middleton's shot. Coach Monty Williams does not call timeout. He lets Devin Booker run the play. They're trying to get into their sets before Milwaukee gets into their defensive set. Giannis picks up on D-Book. D-Book is able to get him down into the paint area. Realizes he can't shoot over Giannis. So as he goes to spin to attempt the fadeaway, I'm assuming, guess who's there waiting on him? Drew Holiday. Devin Booker literally spins right into Drew. Drew snatches the ball out of his hand. Give me mine. Runs the break. Giannis runs down the court screaming for the ball. Not only does Drew Holiday make a great defensive play, he also shows why he's the starting point guard on this team. He showed why Milwaukee paid him big dollars to come there with championship aspirations in Milwaukee. He sees Giannis and throws him a beautiful lob. He know Giannis is long. Giannis is athletic. Just throw it up there. He might go get it. Giannis catches the ball, dunks it in off the lob pass. Chris Paul foolishly fouls him out of frustration because he knew it was no way you were going to stop Giannis once he left his feet. No way. Chris Paul pushes him in the air. Giannis doesn't even budge. He completes the dunk, misses the free throw, but misses it badly enough where it comes right back to him. He's able to tip it back out to Chris Middleton, who is then fouled, who then hits 1 out of 2 from the free throw line, but that seals the game. Milwaukee is up 4 points, 2 possessions. It is only like 5 seconds left on the clock. Phoenix is not able to recover. And now the stage is set, ladies and gentlemen. Phoenix now has to win in Milwaukee. This is the first time in this playoff series where they are facing an elimination game. And they're the ones that could be eliminated. Milwaukee is up now 3-2 with all the momentum. And guess where they're going back to on Tuesday evening? They're going back to Milwaukee. Now, I mentioned, as once again I made an appearance on the Rewind Sports 60 on WCPT 820 AM, also streaming live on their own channel, the Rewind Sports 60 Roku channel, which is also where you can watch Rob's 2 Cents. Shout out to Brother Jerry Rouse. Shout out to Brother Dan Marvelous. Shout out to Devin Tingle. I just want to let you guys know something. I mentioned this on the show. Phoenix is not going to get any bigger. Losing Dario Saric in Game 1 was a huge loss to the Phoenix Suns. They are already a smaller team to begin with. But at least with Sarge, you are able to allow DeAndre Ayton to get meaningful rest minutes on the bench. DeAndre Ayton is now having to play 40 minutes because now he is the primary defender on Giannis. If we look back at Game 5, DeAndre Ayton played 44 minutes. Almost 45 minutes. He almost played pretty much the entire game. And Giannis realizes that the Milwaukee Bucks have an advantage over the Phoenix Suns. They're bigger than the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix is not going to get any bigger by Game 6 on Tuesday evening. You can't depend on Frank Kaminsky. As good as Torrey Craig has been, he's simply not big enough to guard anybody. on the Milwaukee Bucks, at least not that front court. You look at how they alternate between Giannis, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, and even PJ Tucker being an undersized power forward, he is still there contributing. As I just mentioned, he only had 5 rebounds in game 4, and 3 of them was offensive. He might not be that scoring person that you need, but he's playing excellent defense. Phoenix needs to find some answers. They are going to have to build a wall. You cannot let Giannis and the rest of the team get off. You're going to have to choose one. Do I let Giannis be Giannis, or do I let the others go crazy? Chris Middleton has shown he can go cold. Just as quickly as he can get hot, he can get cold. Jrue Holiday has not been a consistent shooter throughout this series. And for the most part, Chris Paul, if you forget about game 3 and look at his totality of the series, he hasn't had a bad series. Game 3 was probably the worst game he's played in his NBA career. Let that 40-point game by Devin Booker, I'm sorry, not game 3, game 4. Game 3 as well. But game 4 being held to only 10 points, that was bad. Now, we do look at Chris Paul throughout the series. He's averaging 21 points throughout the series. Devin Booker is averaging 30. But Giannis averaging 32. Chris Middleton averaging 25. Jrue Holiday averaging 17. And as I mentioned, they are just better defensively. I'm still going to ride with my prediction of Phoenix to pull out game 6 and then hopefully be able to win it in game 7. But will I be shocked if Phoenix lose tomorrow? I will not. But these games have been mighty close, and I'm not going to count out Phoenix yet. These teams have been evenly matched, but they have to figure out what are we going to do. You're going to have to play defense in the paint by committee. All hands on deck. Everybody should be boxing out somebody. Stop letting the Milwaukee Bucks beat us up on the boards, especially the offensive boards. We have to limit them to one shot. Heard it here first on Rob's Two Cents. Also, before I let you get out of here, I want to give a shout out to Justin Fields. Been reading some great articles about him. Say he has been to the Bears facility every day since touching down in Chicago, training, getting ready for this upcoming season. I love to hear things like that. The young fellas is taking this game very seriously, taking his position very seriously, understanding that as the quarterback of this team, the Bears go as I go. As I mentioned, there are a lot of players, as I mentioned in previous episodes, there are a lot of players on the Bears, in particular the wide receivers, who are happy to have a quarterback like Justin Fields. They are excited about what's going to be, what is going to transpire as the season progresses. So it's going to be a beautiful thing, man. I'm excited to see Chicago Bears football. And baby, because it's not looking so good for the Green Bay Packers. You know, Aaron Rodgers has yet to show up and participate in any of, events or practices for the Green Bay Packers. I believe they said July 27 is when the veterans are supposed to return to Green Bay to get ready for the upcoming season. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to pull that retirement card out as he's been very vocal on not wanting to return back to Green Bay, and that debacle that's going on out there. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lot of storylines to come as the NFL season draws near. And we are excited for some football. Also, Team USA, Bradley Beal is no longer with the team, tested positive for COVID. So he did not travel with the team. He will no longer be playing in Tokyo. Also, Kevin Love, who's been dealing with an ongoing calf injury, he has pulled out as well. So they've been replaced by San Antonio forward Keldon Johnson, I think that's his name. And then also JaVale McGee has joined this team as well. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, this dynamic of how these guys are going to work together. I think I caught one game with Johnson in the new addition. He played pretty well. Also, too, Jeremy Grant is going to be rejoining the team after being in health and safety protocol. And now Zach LaVine has not traveled with the team. Now a part of health and safety protocol himself, but I think they're saying they just don't want to chance it. They just want to make sure he's good. I do believe he is in Tokyo already, so he'll probably have to quarantine for a couple of days, and then he'll be able to rejoin the team. He's actually been placed into the starting lineup, and that's why I believe one of the reasons that the USA Team USA was able to win their games. As we know, they lost their first two games, one being to Nigeria, one being to Australia, and we were able to bounce back, beating two former powerhouses in overseas play, in Argentina and in Spain, beating Argentina 108-80, great win, and then beating Spain 83-76. As you know, Spain, we played against them in many gold medal round games. Spain being one of those dominant teams over there. At one point in time, they used to have Big Serge Ibaka. You know, they got Rick Rubio, the Gasol brothers. I mean, they got some players over there in Spain. But Zach LaVine, in the game versus Spain, going crazy. Scores all 13 of his points in the fourth quarter, helping his team to win. So proud of Zach LaVine. Hope he's able to bring some lessons back from being around all these great players to the Chicago Bulls, and we're able to have a great season as well. Also, in the upcoming weeks, I will begin to discuss the upcoming fight between Errol Spence versus Manny Pacquiao, which is scheduled to go down Saturday, August 21st. Definitely can't wait to watch that fight. That's going to be a great fight. Finally getting to see two powerhouses go at it. I'm going to definitely be watching that. I think, you know, they're trying to somebody's trying to become an undisputed welterweight champion. So going to be keeping my eyes on that one, man. And I hope you guys continue to keep your eyes on me. That has been my show, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a great time, a great ride. Definitely make sure you guys tune in to the NBA Finals on Tuesday. Will Phoenix be sent packing? We don't know. We hope that Phoenix is not using that famous saying, 1-2-3, Cancun. Hope you guys continue to have a great week, rest of the week as well. Have a great, productive week. You know how I am about goals. Set your achievable goals. Make sure they're attainable. Don't jump out the gym with them, but don't think too small as well. And then set up a plan to execute those goals. And then execute, baby. It's all about the execution. Remember, I'm everywhere, man. Catch your boy on YouTube. Catch your boy on Spotify, on iTunes, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. I'm everywhere. And then, of course, catch me on the Rewind Sports 60 Roku channel. Rob's 2 cents is making moves, baby. Hope you guys continue to have a great one. Hope you continue to be great. And y'all already know the slogan, baby. We gone! There's a bigger fight going on. There's a much bigger agenda than the streets. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that far in front of us. But we have to look past the illusions. Look past the delusions of grandeur. And look at the bigger picture. We need to become better versions of ourselves each and every day. Fight for what you believe in. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. We just getting started, baby. You guys know the slogan now. Hope you all have a great evening. And we gone.